Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeth. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine, while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeth, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Welcome back to hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette Morgan. Glad to be sharing the microphone here.
Although social distancing, 6 feet,
with Dr. Jerry Mixon.
I think this is only a 4 foot table.
Oh, that's true. But we're tall, so.
Well, can you hold your breath for the next
For just a bit while you're chatting. Dr. Umeth is off today learning more medical knowledge in Texas and eating some barbecue, maybe.
Maybe.
All right. Taking your phone calls today on Leading Edge Medicine, 800-465-8770. Whatever your calls, maybe a recent diagnosis, maybe something you're experiencing, maybe some side effects of this or that, or maybe you have a diagnosis a lot of folks will call before they have some type of a surgery to ask you what is best, what are some things that I can do. Get a little bit more information from Dr. Mixon. One of those is Al. Al can't be on the phone right now, but he did leave a message, so hopefully this will make sense. Al is very healthy, 60 years old, and he had a heart ablation about 2 days ago. He wants to know what to look at in post-op and maybe an overview of what they did to him. So a heart ablation.
Yeah. Okay.
You're not a heart surgeon, but you probably know some stuff.
I know some stuff about coronary ablations, yeah. I actually had my mother evaluated for that at one time. So I did a lot of research on it. You know, of course, that was about 3 or 4 years ago. So, you know, my things move rapidly in that field. Nevertheless, probably not too far out of date. Cardiac ablation therapies are basically where they go in, run a catheter into the heart itself, go in through the arterial supply, and use a microwave generator to basically destroy strips of tissue. And it's usually done for people that are having atrial fibrillation or other rhythm disturbances that are being propagated through the tissues. And the idea is to break up the electrical impulse so that you don't get these very, very rapid or extremely slow heart rates as a consequence. And it's effective most of the time. You know, recovery is pretty fast, really, because it's mostly just the surface, the myocardial surface that's being damaged, and it heals real fast. You know, he's probably going to be a little tired for a few days. They're probably going to keep him on some anti-arrhythmia medications for several weeks to a month or two, because the procedure itself causes some inflammation and some irritation. And so if you're going to get reactions, if you're going to get adverse reactions or rhythm problems, you're going to get them in the first few days after the procedure. But every day that goes past, the inflammation will decrease and his risk of having an adverse event from the procedure goes down and down and down. And he's out 3 days now. He's already past the most critical period. And, two, 3 weeks from now, he'll be increasing his activity to tolerance. So it's a good procedure. It has a low complication rate. It has a high success rate. like anything and everything done in medicine, it's not perfect, and some people have disasters, and rarely somebody will have a fatal event from it. Thank goodness it's rare. Mm-hmm. You know, we're back in the decision making, you know, Dr. Mixon's first rule. Nothing done to or by human beings is perfect. Anything we do in an effort to help has the potential to go wrong. Just that's life. Mm-hmm. You know, we doctors are not magicians. We're people. Most of us are reasonably smart people, reasonably well-educated people.
And we're very thankful for that.
And we do our best.
Yes.
But that's any honest doctor can't promise you any more than to do their best. Yeah. And there's always an element of good or bad fortune in mm-hmm. every human endeavor. You know, I know people wish their doctors never made mistakes and never had an off day, but we do. We're people.
Mm-hmm. You're people.
Yeah.
Yep.
you know, I for some time in previous years used to sit on a hospital quality assurance committee. And whenever there's an adverse event, whenever something goes wrong in a hospital, the chart goes to the quality assurance committee. And the doctor gets reviewed, and the chart gets reviewed, and we're looking to say, could this have been avoided? What decisions were made? Why were they made? What went wrong? Was it something the doctor or the staff or the nurse or a matter of policy? You know, were there avoidable problems in this? And I recall some of my colleagues were very, very judgmental about their colleagues. Wow. You know, they just rake guys over the coals. And my thought in almost every case was, my God, I've got a case that, you know, I've got a chart that looks at least this bad. The only difference is mine didn't go wrong. I didn't get burned. Yeah. I think we sometimes lose track of the fact that human beings are fallible creatures. And if people are doing their best and if there's no flagrant errors, we just have to recognize that when you're dealing with human disease and lots of factors, some of them over which the doctor has no control, many of them are things that only the patient could control. And we're trying to compensate for that. And, you know, sometimes bad stuff happens. It just does. You can do everything right. Things can still go wrong. That's the real world. Hopefully, in this gentleman's case, everything went right.
Yes.
He's going to be great. He's going to be happy. He's going to get a great result. That's my hope, not a promise. Please don't tell your lawyer I promised that everything would be copacetic.
All right. We hope. That's right. What we're hoping. So very good. Hopefully that will help you, Al. We're taking your questions. If you have one, 800-465-8770. Phone lines are open right now. We would love to talk with you. 800-465-8770. Now, Dr. Mixon, let me ask this question. This is a personal one. You have been a medical doctor for many years and doing alternative medicine.
Many
decades and wanting to help the patient and yes. do what you know is best for them. When did you first know that you wanted to be a doctor and help people?
Oh, my goodness.
Do you remember that first time?
Oh, yes. I remember it clearly, but it's not something I usually share on the radio.
I ask you a new question.
It would never have occurred to me to share this on the radio. Okay, I'll be honest about it.
Okay.
My first job out of high school was in the Army as a combat paratrooper. My job was killing people my government told me needed to be killed. God help me, I was good at my job. I killed more human beings than anybody should have to remember at 3 o'clock in the morning. Mm. When I got out of the service, I guess my personal form of post-traumatic stress syndrome was that I made a vow to never harm another human being. Mm. And so in a sense, my 45 years in medicine has been my personal penance for the violence of my early youth. And so I care about my patients. I do everything I can think of to never harm a patient. I try to be as honest as I can about what I think the odds are that what we're doing are going to help. So I'm a doctor in part as penance from being a violent young soldier.
That you were serving your country and you did what you had to do.
You know.
And now?
Every time you pull the trigger and you kill another human being, the country has damn little to do with that. That's a personal thing. Taking another human life is intensely personal. I still remember the expression on the face of the last man I killed.
And that was 45, 48 years ago, even longer.
Longer.
Wow.
50-some years ago.
50-some years ago.
Yeah. And I will never forget that. And the expression on that young man's face as he died will be with me as long as I live.
Well, that is in your heart, and that's what fuels your passion
yes.
for helping everybody that you can.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think this is the first time I've ever actually shared this on publicly on the radio.
Okay.
But that's why I became a doctor.
Okay. All right. There always seems to be an amazing story behind, I think, doctors especially, whether it's growing up and maybe losing a parent, watching somebody suffer, and they're like, I want to find out what I can do to help them or to find a cure for that or to help as many people as I can. That seems to be the yeah. passion that, yeah. that fuels.
Well, and that is actually carried over. You know, I own a supplement company and we make Relief Factor. And for me, Relief Factor, which is designed to decrease pain and inflammation, is a extension of my medical practice. The difference is that in my medical practice, I could see a few people every day.
Mm-hmm.
As I develop the clinics, we can see thousands of people each year. With Relief Factor, I can give pain relief to hundreds of thousands of people every month.
Wow.
Okay. And I've got other products that I'm developing for that company to handle other things to make people's lives better.
Mm-hmm.
But the common theme in all of my business enterprises is an extension of my medical practice, which is to make people's lives better. And that's, you know, and I make no apologies to make a fair bit of money making people's lives better.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you should earn your keep. You should earn your profits by improving people's lives, not by harming them.
Absolutely.
And so everything we do is in any of my companies is aimed at making people's lives better.
Well, and here's the thing. You see 100 people with their lives getting better, and then 1,000, and then tens of thousands.
And now
and then
hundreds
of thousands,
yes.
literally.
And, yes, and if I can get big enough and I can make millions of people's lives better, that's better yet.
And what a beautiful goal to yeah. be able to help and actually see and make a difference
so, yeah.
in
so
many
I,
people.
You know, I am one of the happiest, most fortunate human beings I know. My life is wonderful. And mm-hmm. I get to earn my living helping people have
others.
Better lives.
And why wouldn't
and
you?
And part of it is from this show doing Longevity Medical Clinic. Mm-hmm. Part of it is from the supplement companies. Part of it is from other enterprises that I'm involved with that I don't spend much time talking about. But
there you go.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right.
You asked, I answered.
I love it. Yes. A little backstory with Dr. Mixon today. Taking your phone calls, we're going to take a quick break here. Our phone number to get through is 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. We would love to talk to you, answer questions, talk to you about your health. And if you're going, okay, Relief Factor, what's this? I want to know more. Well, you can go to the Longevity Medical Clinic site and get details there or ask a question,
actually,
right?
Not on Relief Factor. That's not on.
They could ask, though, and then they could find out where to go,
if
right?
If they want to find about Relief Factor, they go to relieffactor.com.
Okay, that's even easier. How
relieffactor.com
about that? I knew we would get some questions.
The medical clinic is about about longevity. Not really.
Okay, so we'll skip the middleman. We'll go
companies.
Right to the guy because, well, right. You own the company. ReliefFactor.com is where you go if you're going, okay, I want to know more. All right, we'll be back with more longevity medicine in a moment. Stay close.
I went to the Linwood office, and I must tell you, your staff is so amazing. At Longevity, they talk to you. They make you understand what's going on, and they give you the numbers so you have a starting point. And that's what I love about coming to you guys.
You know I can be found sitting home all alone. If you can't come around, at least please tell the phone. Don't be cruel to who heart is true.
Welcome back, Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette Morgan, here along with Dr. Jerry Mixon, who just we got to peel back a layer. And you're really good at peeling layers back and sharing a little bit, but thank you
well,
for sharing.
But you brought me to the edge of tears with that. You know that.
Yes, I do. I'm seeing
it's
that.
It's emotional.
Never been asked on the radio, what made you first decide to become a doctor and help people?
Yeah.
So there we go. Thank you for sharing that. If you are wanting to get through and have a question for Dr. Mixon, 800-465-8770, we would love to talk to you too. Going to take a phone call. Michael from Wallingford, you had a question for Dr. Mixon.
Yes.
Welcome.
Hi, thank you. Dr. Mixon, I'm curious if your large blood panel, which I had done in your clinic many years ago, it was a very thorough. I was very impressed with that. But it's been a number of years. Are you now doing, there are new enzymatic blood tests to detect soft plaque. And then are you also doing the more modern tests to look for lipo particle sizes?
Yes, we are. and it's up to the doctor which of those panels they run, and they can run several. But yes, we've actually got some panels now that look at serum markers that tell you what stage the plaque in your arteries is at. There are different markers that are released when you get early plaque, and then more significant plaque, and then unstable inflamed plaque that is at risk of rupturing and causing a heart attack in the very near future. And so by looking at the levels of these various serum markers, we can stratify your risk very carefully. We also look at lipid particle sizes and fractionate and subfractionate particle size. That's not necessarily in the original panel. We do that for our patients that have risk factors or that have family histories that indicate that we should do all of that. So it's not in the initial intake panel. The initial intake panel is already 70 some pages long.
Right, I'm aware.
So, you know, it's a loss leader. People don't realize that when we do that first panel, if you've come in and you've done your free health analysis, and then you pay $595 for that second panel, the big panel, and then you come in and you spend an hour with the doctor and you follow up that panel, that's a loss leader. We lose money on that process. And it takes us a year, the first full year of being a patient, before we break even on you. We don't turn a profit until you've been with us your second, third, and fourth years. So the cost of this radio show and doing the panels and so on, our initial workup is actually still a money loser, but it's worth it to me because it's
a great business model, at least in terms of patient support. So thank you.
Yeah, well, and it's my contribution to the world. You know, I don't run Longevity Medical Clinic to make money. I make my money other places in other businesses. Longevity is large measure my good deed for the world. You know, and
thank
so
you
it,
for that. It's a noble effort indeed. I have one other completely separate question about COVID and viruses.
Sure.
In the natural medicine world, there for a long time, a very, very dilute hydrogen peroxide solutions could be sprayed or inhalations. And the idea is just on a daily basis to kill any viruses that are in the in your upper respiratory tract. Uh-huh. And my wife just bought from Israel Pharmacy an over-the-counter product that is a powder kind of spray, which is it's a daily antiviral. And supposedly, the theory is you're every day you kill whatever's in there, and you're never going to get any seriously ill. Do you have any comments about that kind of treatment?
Well, I've never seen any studies on that particular product, so I'm not in a position to make an intelligent comment.
The theory is
the cleaner the environment you're in, the lower chance that you will catch an infectious disease. Sure. Mm-hmm. What I don't know is how effective that particular product is at cleaning up your environment.
It's too new. Anyway, if I find any research on it, I'll send it to you. Interesting approach.
Sure, I'm always happy. One of the interesting things, though, is that Americans and Europeans actually are too clean. Human beings
Agreed.
Were designed to live with a certain amount of grit and grime and dirt and germs. Our immune systems are promoted, are boosted by exposure to potential pathogens and organisms in our environment. There's a very clear correlation that the cleaner the environment you raise a child in, the higher their risk of allergies and autoimmune disease.
Yeah.
Kids that have an outside dog, a dog that comes in from outside.
Yes. Plays outside.
And rolls in the grass and the poop and the grit and comes in, and the kid buries his face in the fur, and gets his face licked by the dog. Those kids have much lower incidence of allergies and autoimmune disease later in life. And the more we raise our kids as hothouses in very clean, sterile environments, the more their immune system causes them trouble later in life.
Makes sense. You would probably be very comfortable in our home then.
There you go. And you just heard it. Dr. Mixon is prescribing dogs.
Dogs, cats, rolling in the grass.
Thank you, so much.
Thank you, Michael. I love that. And Dr. Mixon, prescribing a dog for you, and then call me in a week.
Well, I'll tell you, let me tell you one of the unsettling events, though, of when I was raising my first set of kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because, my first marriage, we raised seven.
Oh, just a few.
Yeah. And I had one of my oldest son was out playing when we were living in Wisconsin, out playing in the yard where we had an outside dog. And I walked out to see that he had a dried dog turd.
Oh, no.
That he was chewing.
Oh, no.
At about age four.
Oh, boy.
So while I recommend having the dog, eating the dog poop is not a good
thing. However, what a great story to share at his wedding.
But he survived.
There you go.
He survived. He's now about to turn 50.
Probably doesn't do that anymore.
No, doesn't do that
anymore. Not anymore. Okay, that's great. All right, let's go to Suzanne. Suzanne has a question. She's calling from Bellevue.
Hello, Suzanne. Yeah.
Hello there. I have severe low back pain, and I'm about to start radio frequency ablation.
Uh-huh.
And I just finished my MRI, and it showed that all my discs have severe dislocation. And what I want to know is, besides the ablation, what can I do to further protect my discs from dislocating further?
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit first, though, about the ablation. What are you having ablated?
I beg your pardon?
What are you having ablated?
My low back.
well, hopefully not the whole low back. Are they talking about destroying some of the nerves that are causing your intractable pain? I mean, when you ablate something, you're basically destroying it.
Okay. I don't know too much about it because I'm going in to discuss it with my doctor in a couple of days. Okay. But I imagine it's to destroy the nerve.
All right. Yeah, that's kind of a last-ditch sort of effort. So, you know, if your doctor is seriously talking to you about ablating some of your sensory nerves so that you don't have pain, you've really got a bad problem. Because there's a whole lot of stuff that you normally do before you start killing nerves.
And I'm having problem walking on one of my legs.
Okay. Well, killing the nerves is not going to help that. In fact, it might aggravate the situation depending on how, you know, what is destroyed. Yeah, I mean, what you're telling me is vague enough and worrisome enough that, you know, I don't have a clear picture of exactly what your doctor wants to do to you. So I'm just not in a place I can tell you much about it. I will tell you that if somebody's going to ablate any of my spinal nerves, I want at least two opinions on it. Okay. When you're talking about a serious intervention, always get two opinions. Never, you know, I don't know your doctor, and he may be a genius. He may be the best guy on the planet, in which case everybody else's advice is probably worse than his. But the odds are, you know, the middle of the curve is bigger than the geniuses at the end. So if I'm picking doctors at random, most of them are going to be in the middle of the curve. And I always want a second opinion before I do something that's really, really very invasive. So that's not a slam at your doctor. That's just a comment on life.
Shall I tell you the name of the doctor? Shall I tell you the name of the doctor that I'm going to?
Not on the air. No, ma'am. I don't want to know.
We don't need a lawsuit right now.
Okay. When you're talking about how wonderful a doctor is, feel free to share the name. When I don't know what's going on, I'm just going to tell you, always with serious concerns, get two opinions. You only got one body. You got one life, unless you're one of the new age folks that recycle over and over again till you get it right. So I don't know how many times I come back, but I'm going to make the best out of this one. So always get a second opinion.
What are the dangers of ablation, killing a nerve?
It depends on which nerve and which fibers are being ablated. For instance, mm-hmm. when you're talking about destruction of spinal nerves, depending on which ones are damaged, you can have gait and walking problems. You can have sensory problems down your extremities. You can have stability problems in your spine. If it's the nerves that provide those muscles, those big bands of muscle that run up and down your spine that provide the stability and your core strength, you can interfere with that. You may be trading sensation loss, you know, sensation you want to lose, for muscle function and stability. And so talk to your doctor in great detail about exactly mm-hmm. what he wants to ablate and what the consequences are, good and bad, and tell him, I want to know the good and the bad.
Yes.
Okay? Sometimes doctors think you don't want to hear the bad. Mm-hmm. They think you can't handle it. It's your life. You can handle it. Hear the good and the bad before you make a decision. And always get a second opinion. All right?
Can I ask you what I can do to further help the dislocation in my spine?
And I'll tell you what, I will get to that, but if you hear the music, we've got to take a break. Yeah. It's the bottom of the hour, so you hang on, don't go away.
Yep, we'll be right back with you, Suzanne.
We'll talk about disc desiccation, okay?
That's right. And if you have a question for Dr. Mixon, 800-465-8770 is the number to call for Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be right back.
I fly for a living, and I change in time zones and all this other stuff, and getting colds, and when I get a cold, I can't fly. I thought, well, let's give this a shot. I started taking the supplements, and I noticed less colds, so I was working, you know? So then I thought, well, let's try the rest of it. But for us, it's big improvement, and that's why we stay with it.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Do 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 shaboom. Life could be a dream. If I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm the only one.
We're in hour number two. We have about 27 minutes left of our show and some phone calls to get to. Talking with Susan, though, from just a few minutes before the break, and back pain, Dr. Mixon.
Okay. Spinal disc dissection. Let me start by kind of explaining to the audience. Your back, your spine, is made up of vertebra. These are small bones. They're kind of hollow in the center so that your spinal cord runs down through them. They got openings, the foramen on either side that allow the nerves to come out. Every nerve in your body is coming out of the spinal canal between those vertebra. Between the vertebra, there are what we refer to as discs. And these discs are a tough, fibrous structure that is, in your youth, filled with kind of a gel. It's a hyaluronic acid-based gel that acts as a cushion, as a shock absorber, so that as you bend and flex, it allows you mobility in your spine. As we age, as a result of decades of trauma and stress and strain and just wear and tear, sometimes those discs, they start degenerating. Desiccation is one of the signs. Desiccation means fluid loss. The fluid in those discs is starting to dry up, and it's being replaced with a fibrocartilage compound that it still provides a tough cushion, but it's not as flexible, and it doesn't allow things to move as easy. And so as you start getting desiccation of those discs, your back starts to get stiff. It doesn't want to move as easily as it did because the cushion is no longer as pliable and flexible as it once was. Eventually, you can start getting pain, and the pain can be just because of the degenerative change. You're probably also getting arthritic changes, inflammation and arthritis in and around the vertebra. And that can start impinging on the disc space too. And especially as we age and these discs start shrinking, we get shorter. And so the shorter you become from your 18-year-old age, the more we know that your discs have either ruptured and lost the juice inside or just dried up and shrank. And it can go either way. A ruptured disc is when one of those sacs with fluid actually pops like a balloon and the fluid leaks out and now your two vertebrae come down and almost touch each other. Treatment is tough. The first thing doctors usually say is, well, drink more fluids, eat more fruits, eat more veggies. The fruits and veggies have flavonoids that will decrease inflammation and will probably decrease your pain to some extent. So that's good. The increased fluid will at least counteract the amount of desiccation that's due to dehydration, but it doesn't reverse the overall process. Nevertheless, if you've lost a lot of weight and you've gotten a lot of water loss and you're dry, then you may get some marginal help just by drinking more fluids. The inflammation is often addressed with anything from steroid injections to physical therapy. Rarely, and I think perhaps too often, it's treated by doing spinal fusions where they actually take some bone chips out of your hip or your iliac crest, or they'll take some donor cadaver bone and they'll rough up the edges of the vertebra and they'll pack in this macerated bone, and then maybe even put some metal stays or rods there to hold it still and to just make these two vertebra grow together. Now, if that happens, you lose the mobility in those vertebra. But if all they've lost is two vertebrae, you don't lose a lot of mobility. The more of the spine they fuse, the more mobility you lose. And in that process, you almost always do a lot of nerve damage. And that nerve damage unfortunately, can impact further areas of your vertebral column. You know, if Dan Nelson is listening to this show, Dr. Nelson, if you're listening, call in.
Yes.
Because this is more in your bailiwick than mine. So, you know, you can probably give this lady a lot more guidance than I can. My personal philosophy with this particular issue is to be as conservative as you possibly can. Don't get overly aggressive, because spine surgery has a high complication rate. An awful lot of people are not significantly better off after the surgery than before. So I would be really picky about who I let fuse any of my discs, and I'd want to make darn sure I had no other alternatives. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Nelson is one of the people that I would talk to before I let anybody do that to me. And maybe he can come on the air with us, or maybe you need to give him a call. Lynette, why don't you give her Dan Nelson's number? Right.
He would be. This is for Dr. Dan Nelson. He would be a great second resource for you, second opinion. His number at Pro Ortho is 425-823-4000. That's 425-823-4000.
Okay.
All right. Hopefully that is informative for you, Suzanne, and helpful.
Thank you. I appreciate your comments.
Okay. Thank you,
ma'am. All right. Thank you, Suzanne. Bye-bye. Wow. Second opinion is always so good. And it's okay to ask questions.
Yeah. Well, and you're talking about nerve ablations. You're talking about spinal fusions.
That's big stuff.
It's big stuff. It can help, but doesn't always. In fact, sometimes people really regret having it done. And so you want to make sure that you are one of those people that really and truly does not have a better option. And to do that, I like to ask people that don't do the surgery. See, people that do the surgery think of surgery. Mm-hmm. Surgeons think of surgery. It's how they make their living. It's where their brain is. And they're not lying to you. They have a belief system. Dan doesn't do that surgery. And so if Dan tells me that it's necessary, then I'm going to believe it's really necessary.
Okay. There you go. All right. Let's get another phone call while we can. Let's head to Kirkland now. Martin on the phone. Hi, Martin, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hello, Martin.
Oh, and we also have Dr. Nelson on the line.
Oh, we do.
Should we take Dr. You know what? Our wonderful engineer, he can switch gears in a moment.
Yes, switch gears.
Let's grab Dr. Nelson. And Martin, if you're listening, please hold on. We'll get right to you. Hi there, Dr. Nelson.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, how are you?
Tall, brilliant, incredibly handsome.
Yeah.
Delusional as hell, of course. But, you know, I find a little delusion gets me through the day.
Well, that's totally fine, you know.
Thank you for hearing and seeing our bat signal.
Yeah, right. You know, it's funny. I just turned on my, I was just streaming on my phone, and I hear Dr. Mixon waxing poetic about discs and vertebral bodies and fusions and bad things like that. And I'm like, oh, man, this is perfect, you know. So, and I hear my name mentioned, so that's even better.
All right. Well, yeah, you know, I mean, this is an area in which I have some general knowledge, but clearly it's not my area of expertise. So I'd like to get somebody with, you know, more specialization involved.
Absolutely. Well, and that's why this is such a good fit for, and we've talked about this recently, Jerry, about why I love longevity patients to come to see me about back pain or if they're interested in stem cell, because they've already been tuned up and they are fertile ground for success. So, but so that's, you know, this is a very, you know, everybody either has pain or knows somebody in pain, especially in the over age of 50 group, mm-hmm. right? So this is, and you talked about the spine surgery and multi-level fusions, and that, you know, it's really that old saying that we've said this before, if the whole world looks like if all you have is a hammer in your hand, the whole world looks like a nail. You know, mm-hmm. that's really a big, that's a lot of that's a big tool that has a lot of side effects and long-term consequences. And I tell my patients, look, we got three great spine surgeons upstairs in my clinic, but my job is to keep you away from them, you know?
Yeah.
Most of the time we're successful because we have a lot. I have a huge toolbox, and it's just a matter of being smart enough to figure out what's going to work best for that particular patient. Of course, the stem cell has been a surprisingly useful tool that I wouldn't have even imagined that, you know, 6 or 7 years ago when I started doing stem cell therapy. But it's been amazing. But it's not for everybody. You have to know, there's some people, as you know, Jerry, I'll talk, you know, they come to me for stem cell and I'll say, no, that's not really what you need. You know, it's not covered by insurance. I want you to save your money. Here's what you need for your back or your hip or whatever it is. So it's just knowing what's appropriate for that given patient.
You know, I was just thinking, this lady that set off my alarms, or this lady originally called in saying that she was scheduled for a nerve ablation.
In her back. Lower back.
And,
right.
You know, and when you start talking about destroying nerves in somebody's back, you know, my hackles rise. She may be one of those rare people in which it's really, really necessary, in which case I want her to have it. But, you know, given the little I know about her history, I always say, whoa, wait a second, get a second opinion.
Right. So. Right. And it really depends on, and not knowing the details. I mean, to be fair, we do nerve ablations for like facet joint pain. These are little tiny target nerves that we do the appropriate workup with test injections, and we know we can pretty much do the radiofrequency ablation on those nerves with impunity, and because those nerves aren't really critical for walking and feeling and stuff. But when we interrupt that signal from the facet joint, their pain gets a lot better. Now, those tiny nerves will grow back over time. So we tell patients, look, this will last 6 months, a year, sometimes 2 or 3 years, but the pain will probably come back. So it is a very useful tool, and we do lots of them. But beyond that, you have to be, hopefully that's what she's referring to, because
I hope.
If it's a large nerve, you know, large nerves, we stay away from large nerves because they tend not to regenerate or grow back if you cut them or ligate them or burn them or whatever. So hopefully she's talking about RFA for the facet joints, which is, and we do, Dr. Mixon, we do hundreds of those. Those are very useful. They are somewhat of a palliative procedure. I mean, we're kind of like painting over the dry rot, but if that's what it takes to get people moving, hey, I'm all for it. And it is covered by insurance. So ultimately, you know, my direction is more on the regenerative side, the stem cell, to get to fix the underlying problem rather than just kind of covering it up, though.
Sure. Although I remember that, you know, last spring, I think it was, you did a vertilift procedure on me.
Right.
And,
vertiflex,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, vertiflex. You put a little device in to kind of pry two of my vertebra a bit of further. Well, actually, four of my vertebra. Well, three.
Okay, I thought
three.
You looked taller.
Two levels, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I added 2 millimeters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's an important 2 millimeters, though, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So, you know.
Exactly. So that's another point where, you know, in that case, I told you, you know, stem cells not probably the best answer.
Sure.
For your situation, because you had a more of a compressive pathology, stem cells really not going to help that because the nerves are getting squeezed. We need some mechanical help. And the Vertiflex is, you know, Jerry, just a truly minimally invasive. And it's, we do two levels in, 35 minutes in the operating room, and it's, and the outcomes are remarkable. I mean, the success rate, in level one studies approaches 90%. There's no spine surgery in the world that has that success rate. So in my mind, that's just, again, one of the tools in the toolbox, and is it appropriate? You have to just know what's appropriate. In your case, it totally was appropriate.
Yep. All right, well, Dan, thank you very much for the input.
Dan.
So hopefully hopefully she's just talking about little facet nerves and not nothing big.
Right. Hopefully, I imagine that's probably the case. Hopefully that person is skilled enough to do it properly. So I've seen some questionable outcomes with people who just didn't know what they were doing. But, okay. You know, far be it for me to cast stones. But I'm so glad I was able to call in, and it's just great to hear your voice. And I'm so looking forward to being there next Saturday.
That's right. Thank you for filling in for me, Dr. Nelson.
Well, I don't know if I can't adequately fill in for you, but I will do my best.
That's okay. We'll have Pete doing her job.
That's right.
You just have to come in and
That's
help me
right.
with mine.
Okay.
All that right. works.
Perfect.
Okay. Thanks
All right,
a lot,
Dr. Nelson.
Great
Appreciate
show.
It, Dan. Appreciate
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Back with more Leading Edge Medicine.
We do have a little break we got to take,
Oh,
though,
yes.
So
we'll do that right
we'll
now.
We'll be right back.
I've been a longevity patient at the Tacoma Clinic a little over 3 months. So I've lost a bunch of weight, improved libido. I quit drinking wine, which was not easy. I really appreciate what you do.
Last night I said these words to my
couple phone callers on the line with Dr. Jerry Mixon. Let's go to Martin. Martin is calling from Kirkland. Hi there, Martin.
Hello, Martin.
Hi. Yeah, so I wanted to go back to what you were talking about earlier.
You got the radio on back there?
Yeah, I'm driving. It took a long time to get on. So anyway, I hope that doesn't interfere with how
Okay, you just got a lot of background noise is all. There.
Okay, I'll see if we can get
I know the better? Highway Patrol doesn't like it, but if the phone's up next to your ear, it works best of all.
Okay. All right, how's that?
That's much better.
Much better. Thank you, Martin.
Okay. Yeah, so I was calling about the vaccine, mRNA vaccine for COVID. And sure. My daughter is one of those who really got extremely scared about things and got a vaccine real early. But she is now suffering ever since then. She's had suffering a lot of pain and also as bad as having to be lying and she can't, like in bed, and she can't move for like 5 hours at a time. And she says it feels like eels are crawling through her body. And that's how much pain she's in from this vaccine. And yet you just don't see that. You know, nobody's saying, hey, this is what can happen to you.
How old is she?
She is 39.
Okay.
And it just makes me sick as a father to see my daughter like this. And they're making a mandate, like here in King County, you can't even go to like a restaurant or anything, you know, or a gym or, you know, all this, unless you have a vaccine that could literally make your life hell and destroy your whole life. The rest of her life might be this way. You know, we don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and we don't know why this happened to her, you know.
Well, we know why. It was a vaccine caused it.
Well.
It kicked it off. It triggered something in her.
Well, at least it happened after she took the vaccine. Yes.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. Correlation is not causation. Okay. We know that she had the vaccine and sometime later, how much later did this pain problem start?
It was right after she started suffering the pain after the first shot. And then,
I mean, are we talking minutes, hours, months?
She hours after she started, but not as extreme, but it's just been getting worse and worse where she is now having been paralyzed for, like I said, for as much as 5 hours at a time. Just can't even move at all.
Yeah.
Her whole body.
Okay. So a couple of hours after the first shot, she started having pain. But then 4 weeks later she went back and got the second shot anyway.
Yeah, she went back up the second shot because it wasn't like it is now, the pain that she was getting. She just thought it was, okay, I've got aches and pains maybe from flu-type symptoms or something like that. But it's just gotten so much worse over this last year. It's just constantly getting worse.
Yeah. When did she get her second shot? She's 39, then she wasn't one of the early adopters, and she had to be somewhere, say, what, June or thereabouts?
Yeah, no, she's had the shot for about a year.
No.
Hasn't been out that long yet.
Yeah, it only came out in, in December, and that was for people 80 and up. And then we worked it down to 70 and then 60s.
Well, it's
and,
November now.
It's
November now. So she got it really early on because she was living with somebody who was at extreme risk. And so she
Okay.
But,
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Yeah, so she was one of those household contacts of a high-risk person.
Exactly.
Oh, dear. Yeah. And the problem, of course, is if we don't know what the physiology of her pain is, there's not a whole lot we know how to do about it. And, it, you know, it's fascinating that relatively young women are the ones who have these sorts of long-term pain reactions from almost any vaccine. When we see the flu shot, the people with the neurologic problems and so on tend to be women as opposed to men. So I don't know what there is about human or about female physiology that seems to set them up for this. But yeah, this sort of thing is exactly the reason why I am opposed to mandates. You know, I think that the vaccines give us good protection for some period of time. In us older people, it's not long. It's only about 5 months that we get really good, decent protection. After 6, 7, 8 months, us older folks need a booster to get our protection back. Young people tend to be protected longer. But that same factor gives me hope that if this is triggered by the vaccine, that as the antibody levels decline, her symptoms may decline with it. That's the hope. Certainly not a promise because we don't know that it is for sure antibody related. You know, we don't know what triggered this or what in the vaccine, what physiologic process was triggered after she got her shots. But if it's antibody related, it should improve as the antibody levels drop.
Okay. Well, I know one thing, like, for example, I myself have autoimmune disorder, vitiligo.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like, you know, they believe this is auto, you know, immune system in hyperdrive or something attacking her system. And I myself already have an issue. So I'm not going to go get the vaccine. I don't want, you know, obviously, for obvious reason, I'll never get that vaccine. And because obviously there's a link. And if there is a link, they need, you know, they before we go get the shots, you know, they should, you know, whoever the health, CDC, or whoever is involved needs to put this out there. Hey.
Yeah. Well, the CDC, the CDC has looked at autoimmune disease specifically because there's a lot of people with rheumatoid arthritis and so on, lupus. The CDC's position is, and I'm not going to tell you that this is true, I'm going to tell you that it's what the CDC says, all right? Center for Disease Control has come to the conclusion that people with autoimmune diseases should still get the vaccine. Now, I'm not sure that they're accurate, but that is the Center for Disease Control's formal position. On the other hand, I tend to always be skeptical of what my government tells me.
Because, I believe just like you do.
You know, but so, but you anyway, know, that is their position. You know,
I mean, as a
Well, my worry is that you're saying you're never going to take it, but eventually they may tell us that you can never get on an airplane or a bus or go to a restaurant again in your lifetime if you're not vaccinated because of your vitiligo.
You know,
my position is that's tyranny and should not ever occur in America, but. Who knows?
Yes. Exactly. Oh, hey, Martin, I'm so sorry. We have to cut you off. We have like 1 minute left of our show. I hope you'll call back.
All
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Yes, we'll talk to you next week. Oh, wow, what a wonderful 2 hours of lots of questions. And is your brain falling out now?
No, never.
This is Leading Edge Medicine. I'm going to take a break for another week. Dr. Nelson will be in. Pete Talbot's coming in
next
week, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon. And we hope that you will continue listening to Leading Edge Medicine. Earlier, we talked about longevity medical clinics, and we have the free health analysis that we offer to you. We want you to come in for those two blood tests, an in-body and a blood test, to see what's going on with you and how we can help you be stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, and
sexier
by getting some tests done, finding out what's going on in your body and making a change in your lifestyle and what you're doing, and get healthier. In fact, we'll give you $100 in free supplements just for coming in. You can go online to get details, lmclinic.com or 1-866-86-YOUNG. We'll see you next week. Thank you for listening.